Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. God loves you so much. I want you to know that at the very beginning of this week. I will probably tell you during the week and at the end of this week. God loves you so much that He has more blessings for you than your faith could ever imagine and more joy than your heart could ever hold. Remember that faith is now. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith, now faith. Faith now is important for you, especially when you're wanting to get your prayers answered. God is willing and ready to do that. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. Oh, that's right, new life. It is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And Darren used to say, God has more provision than you have need. Remember that. In this time when prices are going up all over the place, remember that God has more provision than you have need. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And this weekend was a work weekend, printing hundreds of blank receipts for the next few months and cards to be laminated. I took them to Permographics this morning, and months of laminated cards and just wanting to get the year started right. And then I was stuffing February Express, which I took to the post office today. So you'll be getting your February Express, and it's full of Valentines and love letters to you from God. But most of the work weekend, I had my television on watching football playoff games. Yep, I got to talk a little. I generally do not talk about sports, but this last weekend was just full of amazing plays. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers with quarterback Tom Brady versus Los Angeles Rams was really a great game. Everyone thought Brady was going to pull it off, as he has so often done. I think he has 7 Super Bowl rings. But teamwork gave the Rams the victory. Then last night, I watched the Kansas City Chiefs play against the Buffalo Bills. What a finish. I know some people leave in the third quarter or turn off their television. You can't do that during the playoffs in the last 17 seconds. Yes, 17 seconds of the game. I switched over to another channel because I thought that the Bills had it in the bag. They were ahead by 3 points, but in 13 seconds, and this is a lot of blocking and playing and passing, in 13 seconds, Patrick Mahomes marched the team up to the point where they made a field goal and tied the game. The last 13 seconds changed everything, folks. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then in overtime, the Chiefs won. I believe, as I looked at their faces, that confidence is everything. Never once did I see Patrick Mahomes with a frown or a head down, even when they were behind. And oh, it went back and forth through that game. It was back and forth in scoring, but every throw was exact and precise. He was throwing underneath and firing them to the receivers, and the running back and the receivers were waiting for those fast throws. Jumping up to two, I saw one receiver, I bet he jumped 4 feet high to get that ball, to catch that ball. Amazing plays. What a great coach they have, coaches they have, but what a much greater coach we have. Yes, we do. We have a greater coach than that. And he's telling me every day, Barbara, you can do it. And I know when you open your heart to him, he's telling you that very thing too. That's our Holy Spirit, our best friend, our comforter, our teacher, our guide. Oh, I'm so happy to be with you almost every day. On Fridays, we do encore shows with Darren, and I'm just so grateful for those shows because I get to hear his voice once in a while, which a lot of people who've lost their loved ones, they don't have their voices. And I've kept even the voice message in the office. I've kept his voice message these almost 12 years because, or 13 now, because you just sometimes want to hear that loved one's voice. And so it's a blessing to me. I read a very interesting story in Genesis 26 this morning, and I hope you're reading with me from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. And I've got a Word Power Bible guide that goes chronologically. That's as the events happen, as much as I can. And here in Genesis 26, we've read Job because they were, I believe, Abraham and Job were contemporaries during that time. It's a story about Isaac and what he learned from his father, Abraham. He must have watched his father very much so, because in the middle of this story, he's building an altar, just like Abraham did so many times. And he was friendly and as kind as you can be in the circumstances. And he learned that from his father, Abraham. And I'm reading from Genesis 26, 19 through 30. One day, as Isaac's servants were digging in the valley, they came on a well of spring water. The shepherds of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's shepherds, claiming, "This water is ours." Oh, how many times have there been property lines that have been disputed and people getting in arguments and even fights over things that, "This is mine. No, this is mine." So Isaac named the well Esek, which means quarrel or contention. That was one well. And that because they quarreled over it, they dug another well, and there was a difference over that one also. Boy, Abimelech and he were just going back and forth. They had many herds of sheep and goats, and also the servants and the water that they need for their households. And they named the second well Sitna, or accusation. He went on from there and dug yet another well. Remember, Abimelech said, "This is ours." So what did Isaac do? He didn't fight over that well. He went to another location, built and dug another well. And then the third time he dug a well. But there was no fighting over this one that he named Rehoboth, which means wide open spaces. Can you imagine? There probably wasn't much of a population right there then. And they were fighting over all this land. Now, God has given us plenty of space to spread out in the land, he said. From there, he went to Beersheba. That very night, God appeared to him and said, I believe when we do God's will and we forgive and we go on, we give in to that adversary, and we not the devil, but if a person comes against you with an argument, you can forgive and say, okay, I'll go to another place or I'll do something else. And here's God, the very night that he decided that he was going to have that last well and named it Open Wide Spaces, God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Don't fear a thing because I'm with you. And this is from the Living Translation. I'll bless you and make your children flourish because of Abraham, my servant. I believe so many times God has brought me through because of the mom and dad I had, because of the great teachers I had in the husbands, even my grandparents. They loved God. So I'm so grateful for my heritage. And this is from Genesis 26, and it's the 28th verse. Isaac built an altar there and prayed, calling on God by name. So he honored not only his father Abraham, but he honored God. And we can do that today. We can build altars in our own homes, altars where we are quiet. We submit ourselves to Holy Spirit so he can talk to us. We give generously because he's asked us to do that. He pitched his tent and his servants started digging another well. Isaac was very wealthy by this time. God had greatly blessed him with 100-fold in his harvest and possessions, as it says in, I believe it's Genesis 25 in the very beginning of that chapter. The 26th and 27th verses of Genesis 26 says, then Abimelech, you can't get rid of some of these people, can you? Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his advisor, one who knows more than anybody else, and Phicol, the head of his troops. Now, he came with people. He came with probably a large group of people. Isaac asked them, "Why did you come to me? You hate me. You threw me out of your country." So Abimelech has not been very nice to him. They said, "We've realized that God is on your side. We'd like to make a deal between us, a covenant that we maintain friendly relations. We haven't bothered you in the past, hello, and we treated you kindly and let you leave us in peace." They did not. But see, he's saying something that is not the truth. So God's blessing be with you. So instead of questioning Abimelech's motives, Isaac laid out a feast and they ate and drank together. Oh, that would be so wonderful if we could find people on the opposite sides coming together and having feasts together and proclaiming friendship. Early in the morning, they exchanged oaths. Then Isaac, you can tell there was fear with Abimelech as well, because he saw how Isaac was being so tremendously abundant in everything. Then Isaac said goodbye and they parted as friends. Isaac could have brought up the fact that Abimelech's shepherds filled in his wells, and it might not have ended in a friendly manner. In fact, these confrontations with Isaac's shepherds and Abimelech's shepherds infers in the Hebrew language that some of these incidents ended with fist fights. Yeah, with physical confrontation. So Isaac chose the best resolve: be kind and forgive. Be kind and forgive. Later that same day, Isaac's servants came to him with news about the well they had been digging. "We've struck water." Isaac named the well Sheba, or Oath, and that's the name of the city today, Beersheba. If you go to Israel, you'll find that village. God truly smiled on what Isaac had done in forgiving and feeding his adversaries. For on the same day he made his covenant with Abimelech, his servants brought him the news of a fresh well of water they found. Was that coincidence? Oh, I do not think so. I do not think so. And when you allow forgiveness to flow from you and even someone who is an adversary of yours, God will bless you. You may not see it evident right away, but God is in the blessing mode when you love him and obey him. This reminds me of Job forgiving his friends. Since Isaac had remained silent over the offense of losing wells, God honored him with a new, fresh one. As Paul tells us, all of our works will be tested by fire on Judgment Day. Works that were done out of selfishness will not last, but works done out of love for God and others will. I'm sure Isaac wanted to say a few words about the shepherds that were filling in his wells, but he didn't. He didn't open his mouth and he didn't say a word. He built an altar. See, here he got prepared in his spirit, and you know, he got prepared for anything that might come about. And sure enough, there came Abimelech and he wanted to make a deal with Isaac. Isaac knew that Abimelech had ulterior motives, but instead Isaac turned it around and prepared a feast for his overbearing neighbor. They had refreshing water which would last for generations throughout his family's history. I love this story, and I've not heard pastors teaching about this story. I really believe Holy Spirit was saying, "Barbara, you need to do this on the radio today." So to keep relations on a friendly level, you will experience real joy in giving of yourself to God and others out of love. Out of love, not a giving in, not a giving even kind of a situation or an attitude. Not getting even, but giving to others in love, even going over and above by even feeding them. It is in giving that we find purpose in life and experience true happiness, isn't it? I just needed to tell you that story early here, and it's already halfway through the program. Memory verse for this week is Psalm 19, verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable." Oh, this goes right along with Isaac's story. "Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And it also says that in the Passion Translation. "So may the words of my mouth," and this is from Psalm 19, verse 14. You need to learn this. May the words of my mouth, may what I say and my meditation thoughts, what I have in my heart, not be demeaning in any way. And every movement of my heart be always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, Yahweh, my only Redeemer, my Protector, my Rock of Protection. Oh, that's beautiful. Confession for today, I declare by faith that I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am specially made by God to be the container of Holy Spirit who lives in me. He fills me and he empowers me. He infuses me with all his power. Remember, he's the one that created the earth. Now he's living in you. Hello, do you need a miracle? He's there for you. He empowers me to conquer every attitude that the devil tries to bring against me. God knew I needed this power and therefore gave it to me. I boldly confess that I am filled with a supernatural, wonder-working, dynamic power of Holy Spirit. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you so much for giving that to us, Rick Renner. Oh, he's a wonderful man of God. And I've not met him. I've met Denise. I told you before, we were in La Salle at the Armadillo Mexican restaurant, and she walked in. What a shock. Darren went right up to her and said, Denise, it's so good to see you. So I got to meet her, but not Rick. One of these days, if not on earth, in heaven. Last week, I talked about God shaking everything that needs to be shaken. It's important to be able to discern that which is genuine prophecy and that which is not given by Holy Spirit. You know that we live in prophetic times, times in which the ancient prophecies of the Bible have come true before the eyes of the world. The return of the Jewish people to their ancient homeland after a horrible Holocaust, and the rebirth of Israel in 1948, and the restoration of Jerusalem. You also saw through the eyes and writing of Jonathan Kahn in The Harbinger, a true prophet of God, the fall of the Twin Towers as prophesied in Isaiah 9. Oh, what a great book. The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild. What prophecy tells you is that through it all and no matter what, God is still on the throne. His word is true. His promises are faithful and his love is everlasting. You can bank on that. That should give you all the boldness you need to stand strong in the darkness and proclaim the truth to this generation. I've had several friends of mine, power partners that have lost their mates this year. And the ones that have stood strong and gotten the word into their hearts, they go on. In spite of the grief and the sorrow, they go on. They don't stay at that point where their loved one died. They go on strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I appreciate that so much. Their love is so evident in their letters to me after their loved one died. And I'm so grateful to God for being with them and helping them to go through this time of and it is a time of transition, great transition in some lifestyles. So God bless you, all of you who have lost a loved one this last year. At the end of 2019, you were probably thinking about the leadership of our government and how chaotic it was and would be. We had a president that was bringing in conservative bills and policies that would benefit the citizens. Jonathan Kahn wrote Harbinger 2 at the beginning of that year, realizing that the following year was going to be one of great shaking and dark events. If anyone could imagine the persecution that was going on to by the left to take President Trump and Ivanka and his whole family down, it was beyond our imagination. We'd never seen anything like that. I had never seen, I don't think you had ever seen anything like that, all the persecution coming against a president. And we're still undergoing the shakings that began in 2019 with the culmination of a president who doesn't know how to govern the citizens of this great country and doesn't even know how to speak intelligently. We must not despise the shakings going on in this world. Jesus told us of the signs we would see in the latter days. So we must learn what it is to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I believe this is a world of change, not for those outside your house, but for those inside your house and you specifically. Yes, you who are listening, you must be willing to change and slough off all that hinders you in any way from growing closer to Jesus and keeping you from advancing in the kingdom of God. The world needs to see something different from people who call themselves Christians. They need to see us living for the real, the now, as disciples of Messiah who lived after Jesus left this earth. I want to be like those disciples in the book of Acts. So should we be filled to be ready for anything. Awaken us to more of you, Lord, and less of the world. Here's Terry and Barbie.
This nation. Awaken us, O God. We long for your spirit to renew us again.
Awaken us. Awaken us, O Lord. Let us not be in slumber. Let us not live in apathy. Let us not be dull of spirit. And as Jesus, he said, as my reading today was very profound because it was in Matthew 24. What I do in my word power, I have three scriptures in the Old Testament and one scripture in the New. So you're going to cover the New Testament a couple times in this year, which the Holy Spirit told me to do that. But Jesus is telling us in Matthew 24, be alert, stay awake. Don't go to sleep during this time. Oh, praise God. I want to emphasize at the beginning of a new year that when you write a check or money order to any ministry, a ministry, you're sowing seed, supernatural seed. And I encourage you to write scripture on those checks. Don't just throw this check in an envelope and mail it or in an offering plate. Write scripture on it, scripture that you're believing God is going to bring to pass. Don't be dull in your giving. And on that check, that seed be multiplied. When you're believing, that seed is going to be multiplied. You speak increase as a result of your giving. The seed you sow, it sows enter a spiritual and prophetic dimension like a cloud, as you expect it to. You cannot enter into giving to the Lord with ignorance in your giving. According to your faith, you will receive 30, 60, 100-fold and even more. It has everything to do with your faith and how you treat or respect the seed you have planted. So I encourage you to write scripture on those things that you are giving into the ministry of God, into good seed ground, and you're going to see a harvest. God is saying, my harvest is here. I'm going to be reaping what I have been sowing all these years. I believe that for you too, friend. God bless you and keep you. Stay safe. And tomorrow we're supposed to have snow. Stay warm. God bless you. I love you. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.